Boker Tov. We're on the final Mishnah of the Masechet. Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Bet. We will either finish the Masechet this morning or just come close and then do the final passage and the final sugya on Sunday morning as part of our siyum. In any case, tomorrow, Mirza Hashem, we will be beginning Masechet Ta'anit. So arm yourselves appropriately. Seder Tzkiot, Shalosh, Shalosh, Shalosh. So we're going to find out the makor not only for the mitzvah of shofar today, but also the makor for the shvarim and the trua and the shvarim trua. All of that coming up in today's episode. So the tkiot shalosh 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 shalosh. So the tkiot are three sets of three. What does that mean? We'll clarify. Shiur tkiot ki shalosh truot. How long is a tkiot? Tkiot is as long as three truot. We will find out what that means. Again, this Mishnah has a lot of opaque phrases. It will be clarified. Shiur trua kishalosh yivavot. How long is a trua? You said a tkiya is three truot. How long is a trua? A trua is three yivavot. The yivava, as I mentioned, is a sad. It's a single sound. Right, the Rishonim employ particular terminology here. That's a throne, etc. Takabu Yishona Mashach Lashniyah Kishtai. We've seen this already twice quoted, but here's the source. Em Yadu Alachat. Since you have to do Tkiyah, Truah Tkiyah, Tkiyah, Truah Tkiyah, if that post Tkiyah, which is also coming before the pre Tkiyah of the second set, if instead of doing two separate Tkiyot, you did one really long Tkiyah, so that it was as long as two should be, you might think, remember, we based this on Rava's ruling about the Bor Vadut, that if you heard half a tkiah would be enough. We suggested the possibility that we could divide that long tkiah into two parts and it would count for two. The answer is no. Ein biyado al achat, it only counts as one. Misha beirach v'achar kach nitmalah lo shofar. Now, then we have several miscellaneous rules about the tkiot coming at the end, as we always see at the end of the Masechet. Let's say that you daven musaf without a shofar, and then afterwards you got the shofar. You might think that the shofar cannot be blasted without saying the brachot, without saying it, the zichronot shofarot, etc. And as we saw in the first parak, the main mitzvah of the shofar is to blast it along with the brachot, and the shofar that is sounded earlier, what we call tkiotim yushav, the 30 kolot blasted before musaf, is lasted either for some metaphysical reason of confounding the Satan, or else for a practical reason, as we saw the Balamor mentioned, because to make sure that those people who could not remain in shul would be able to say the mitzvah. But the main mitzvah, without a doubt, is to have the shofar blasted with the brachot. Let's say you daven musaf and there was no shofar, and then a shofar came. Then what do you do? Tokea or Maria with Tokea Shalosh Pamim. You simply blow 30 kolot. Tokea Maria Tokea Shalosh Pamim does not mean 30 kolot. It means 9 kolot. Tkiya Trua Tkiya times 3. The problem, as we will see, will come up is what's the definition of a Trua, and we will see that again coming up. Now, Keshem Tishliyav Tzibur Chayav Koch Tzachko Yachid V'Yachid Chayav. And this here is talking not about the mitzvah of shofar, rather about the tkiyo, about the brachot of Musaf Rosh Hashanah. And that means that the Shliach Tzibur's obligation does not obviate my obligation. In other words, I'm chayav also to say Musaf. He disagrees fundamentally with the nature of Chazarat HaShat, as he evidently disagrees fundamentally with the nature of Tfilat Lachash. And he says that the Shliach Tzibur performs that obligation on behalf of everyone, and therefore I can be yotze with him, Tzilat Musaf. That we will see at the end. That may be delayed till Sunday. We will see. Now, the first thing that the Gemara addresses is the length of a tkiyah and the length of a truah, because the Mishnah said that a tkiyah is three truot, and a truah is three yivavot. We have a braita that says as follows. Vatanya shiur tkiyah kishruah. You just told me a tkiyah is three truot long, and now we have a braita that says the shiur of a tkiyah is a truah long. Do we have a machloket here, or do we have a circumstantial difference? Meaning we're referring to two different approaches, to two different perspectives. Our Tana who says that a tkiah is equal to three truot, is reckoning the whole set. Because if you think about it, you're going to blow tkiah one, truah, let's call it tkiah A, truah B, tkiah A, so far you have two A's and one B. You're going to do that three times, you're going to end up with three times as many tkiot as truot. Right? Because for each set, you're doubling. So you're going to end up with three times as many tkiot as truot, and therefore should be two times as many. So why is it, how do you call it? Because he's considering the tkiot t'chulei bavi or truot t'chulei bavi. So let's do the math for 1 second.
I think it's because one of the truas is a double sound, right? It's trying.
Yeah, you know, but Rashi reads this as kind of inverted, and I'll explain what I mean by that. Tana Didan should normally be the Tana of the Mishnah, and Tana Bra should be the Tana of the Braita. But Rashi somehow inverts it. Because when we say the shiur tkiah k'shalosh truot, so take a look at Rashi. The Rashi says Tana Didan k'chashiv v'chulu bavi v'achi kamar shiur shalosh tkiot k'shalosh hatruot, meaning that the length of sound that you're making, the length of the shalosh tkiot all combined, is the same as three truot. At Tana Bra the k'chashiv v'chada bava. Garashi shiur tkiah k'shiur trua, meaning the length of one individual tkiah is the length of one individual trua. Meaning, if your tkiah has to last nagid, we don't know yet, but has to last 3 seconds. That's because the length of the trua is also 3 seconds. In other words, the trua sound is X amount of time. The tkiah has to be the same amount of time, right? And Rashi points out, "Tavayu chada milta amri." In other words, both Tanaim, the Tana of the Mishnah, Tana of the Braita, are not disagreeing. They're saying the same thing about the halacha, they're just looking at it from a different perspective. In other words, the Tana of the Braita says, Shiur Tkiah Kitruah, is clearly looking at the individual sound and saying the length of the Truah and the length of the Tkiah have to be the same. The Tana of the Mishnah is looking at the entire package and saying that the Shiur of the Tkiot is going to be as long as three Truot. Now, in that case, the Braita was able to jive with the Mishnah. But the second half of the Braita can't work, because Shiur Truah K'Shalosh Yevavot V'Atanya, either in a separate Braita or in the same that same Braita that we just had, Shiur Truah K'Shalosha Shvarim, that a Truah is as long as three sounds, which is three longer sounds, and our Mishnah said a Truah is as three short sounds. Now, this is not the nature of the sound, this is just length. Here, there's certainly a disagreement. Here, you cannot find any way to reconcile the two. Dichtiv, what's the disagreement? Yom Truah Yelachem. That's how the day is defined, Yom Truah. What's Yom Truah? U'matargaminon Yom Yevava Yehilachon. What's the targum on it, which reflects an ancient tradition of understanding? A day of Yevava. U'chtiv ve'imei desisra. This is why, by the way, where the medieval minhag of 100 kolot shows up. It comes up because the Gemara cites this pasuk, Sisra's mother. Hypothetical mother. Sisra doesn't have a mother. You have to realize where the context is. It's a shira that. Yeah, let's take a look at the context. You'll see. But anyways, Baruch Alon Iskafavat Yabez and Sisra. Sisra's theoretical mother is standing by the window waiting for Sisra to return home, and she's Vatiyabez. She's weeping. So now. Now we understand the Truah being Yivava, and Yivava being weeping. Now we cut to the question of what weeping is. Marsavar Genuche Ganach, what is it that somebody does when they're waiting at the window for a loved one to return and they're worried? They're sighing. And therefore the sound is going to be a longer sigh. Umarsavar Yululiyolo, the other one suggests that what a person does in that circumstance is that they weep, or it's kind of a ululating kind of sound.
Why do we have a letter from Ying Sisra? There's no other source that would be.
Yeah, what other source do you have?
Ying Sisra? We both show up with.
Well, remember, Ying Sisra doesn't exist. Remember, that's important to note, because if Ein Sisra really did exist, I'd have your problem. You say, well, we're going to learn how to blow shofar from some enemy's mother? Right? But remember, Ein Sisra doesn't exist. Ein Sisra is a construct in Shirat Dvorah. She doesn't appear in the narrative. Shirat Dvorah is Dvorah and Barak having the people praise the victory, and as part of this praise, they're picturing Sisra's mother waiting by the window, waiting for him. And by the way, they also picture Sisra's mother's servants comforting her with words about how Sisra's going to return with all sorts of great fabric and everything else. It doesn't exist. It's there as part of the shirav of the imagining, the sadness in the enemy camp. But what's important is she employs the word vatiyabed. And since vatiyabed, then evidently it's maybe a hapax. Maybe the only place it shows up in Tanakh. But since it's the Targum on Truah, we say, what does Truah mean? Truah means Yivava. What is Yivava? So we now imagine somebody waiting at the window for the loved one who is going to return. How do they sound? What sound do they make? Do they make a sound of sighing, like of resigning themselves to something terrible, or is it already wailing? You know, it's kind of different stages of grief. So, I don't know, it always bothered me. But, when you look at the psukim, you see that she's not a real person. Right? That would kind of be like learning, military ethics from Amalek. Anyways, Tanur Rabbanan. Minayin Shiva Shofar. So how do we know that we use a shofar? Remember, I told you several times, the word shofar is never used in the context of Rosh Hashanah. You have Yom Teruah, you have Zichron Teruah, Shabbaton Zichron Teruah, you don't have the word shofar. So Talmud Lomar Ravata Shofar Teruah. Here you really have to take a look at the Pasuk. Pasuk number 2 is a very critical Pasuk for this entire sugya. It's in the context of the Yovel. The Torah says, on the Yom Kippur of the 50th year, you sanctify the year, and Vahavarta Shofar Truah B'chodesh HaShvi'i. You're going to do it on the 7th month. Be'asor L'chodesh B'yom HaKippurim, which means the text is already telling you what day you're doing it in. I know when Yom Kippur is. I already learned that 2 prakim ago. It's on the 10th day of the 7th month. So why do you have to mention again the 7th month? We'll see why that word is so big here. Ta'aviru Shofar B'chol Arsuchem. Alright, so not only do we have the Shofar mentioned in this context, it's mentioned twice. And it's mentioned with ta'aviru shofar, in that context, in that construct. So take a look. Emi yela bayovel. So so far I only know that you blow a shofar in Yovel. Rosh Hashanah minayin. How do I know that on Rosh Hashanah of every year I blow the shofar? Tamadova v'chodesh hashvi. There is that phrase. In the context of Yovel, even though it told me that it's Yom Kippur, which I know is v'chodesh hashvi, it says v'chodesh hashvi. I don't need that word. Meaning, that why does the text say, as if to say, any time that you make a sound during Chodesh HaShvi, it's with a shofar. And by the way, any time that you make a sound during Chodesh HaShvi, it's going to follow this pattern, as we'll see. Because Chodesh HaShvi is extra. And if you look at the phrasing out of context, so that particular phrase, Va'avartem shofar truah b'chodesh hashvi'i. Take it out of the context of the Yovel and out of the context of the rest of the Pasuk, it makes it sound like on the 7th month you're blasting the shofar. Bingo. Uminayin shepshuta lefaneha. How do I know that this yivava sound, whatever it is, this wailing or sighing sound, whatever it is, has to be preceded by a flat sound. Pshuta means an unbroken sound. Tamud omar v'ha'avarta Shofar Truah. Look at the order. Now, I'm going to telegraph for us something the Gemara will later explicate, which is Laha'avir, which we know to mean to pass, also means in Tanakh, in several contexts, to make a sound. So, Vaha'avarta, Shofar Truah, means make a sound and then a truer sound. So, what's that Havara? An unbroken sound. Before the Truah. How do I know that your Truah has to be followed by an unbroken sound? Tamud Omar, ta'aviru shofar, and that's why in the Pasuk I underlined and italicized, so you can see, va'avarta shofar truah, havarta meaning flat sound, and then truah, and then ta'aviru shofar, at the end there's another ta'aviru. So you have flat sound, broken sound, flat sound. So far, by the way, from this, all I know is on Rosh Hashanah I have to get up there and make an unbroken sound, a broken sound of sorts, and an unbroken sound. And I go, I'll make Kiddush. That's it. Again, I'm going to retrace this. All I know so far is that on Yovel, I have to have pshuta, trua, pshuta. Rosh Hashanah minayin, how do I know that applies to Rosh Hashanah? Again, tavon lomar b'chodesh hashvi'i. Shein tavon lomar b'chodesh hashvi'i, ma tavon lomar b'chodesh hashvi'i. Again, the same phrasing. She'u kol truot l'chodesh hashvi'i zeh kazeh. That all the truot in the seventh month should be the same. Yovel, Rosh Hashanah, always the same. And on Yovel, I explicitly, not so explicitly, but I explicitly see. I say not so explicitly because you have to posit that ta'aviru is a reference to the pshuta. But I do see that on Yovel, you have to have pshuta, trua, pshuta. And again, I don't know what a true is, but I know what a pshuta is. It's a flat sound, unbroken sound. And so I have them all be the same. Now, minayim l'shalosh shal shalosh shalosh. So far, all I have is three, meaning flat, trua, flat. That's it. How do I know I have to do it three times? Tamud amar v'havarta shofar trua, shabbaton zichron trua, yom trua yelachem. I have two psukim in the context of Yom HaZikaron, Rosh Hashanah, that use the word trua, and one pasuk in the context of Yovel that use the word trua. Add them up and I get three. Well, who says? Maybe on Yovel I have to do it once and Rosh Hashanah I have to do it twice. How do I know to mix them together and take all three of them, put them into one pile and say, always in Chodesh HaShvi, I have three. Because in Yovel it says Bachodesh Hashvi'i, and Rosh Hashanah it says Bachad Bashvi'i, Bachad Bachodesh. That's Shvi'i. So Shvi'i, Shvi'i point to each other and they say, throw them, not, it's not, it's an atypical Gzereshava. A typical Gzereshava would have you apply from one to the other. Here, you're pouring them all into one pool. Two plus one, together you get three that's used on both. Haketzad, how does it play out? Shalosh Shehein Teisha. So you have three sounds which are nine sounds. Which means you have three truot, but each one of them is preceded and followed by a tkia. So you have nine sounds. And that's the basic mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, nine sounds. Now, shiur tkia ki trua. Right? This is the brisa that we saw earlier. The length of a tkia is the same as a trua, meaning the sound, the length of the flat blast has to be as long as the length of the broken blast. Shiur trua kishlosha shvarim. How long is the broken blast? The broken blast is as long as three, we'll call them sides. Now, that's one brisa. And that's a brisa that appears in Torah Kohanim in the context of Yovel and Bahar. Hai Tana Mikar Maiti Lava Hakesha Bahasa Maiti Lava Xera Shava. You notice that originally this Tana got the connection from Yovel to Rosh Hashanah by the extra word Bachodesh HaShvi'i. And then he got it from Xera Shava, Shvi'i Shvi'i. But which is it? Which method are you using? So Hachi Gamar, this is what he's saying. Ila Xera Shava Maiti Lava Hakesha. He was trying to just provide backup. Because remember, Xera Shava is somewhat tentative. There's a whole school that believes that if you don't have a Masorah on a Gzerah Shavah, you can't employ it. And a Gzerah Shavah can be defeated. So he says, I'm going to offer the Gzerah Shavah because I believe it works. But if you don't like it, I've also got a Hekesh which will support it. And by the way, what's critical is at the time that this is being formulated, it should be quite clear to everybody that the method that we use in Tkiah is this. A Trua, Pshuta, three times. And then all of the expansions that happen later on. But at the time of this, in the times of the Tanaim, that's what they did. So they already knew it. And the question here really is just identifying the source in the Torah for what seems to be much more than the Torah demanded. Because the Torah seems to demand Yom Trua, which can either be interpreted as a day where you spend the whole day blasting a shofar, or a day which you have to make one sound of the shofar and that's it. How did you come up with these numbers? So that's what we're reconstructing. So we have brisa number one, takes it from Yovel. Now, the high Tana might feel like Xerah Shavah Mindvar. We have another Tana who has another source. And it's in the Sifri in Bamidbar. The Sifri on Bahalotcha in the parsha of Chatzotzrot. Remember the Chatzotzrot, the silver trumpet that Moshe made for the Kohanim? The Tanya, Utskatem Trua. Take a look, and here I brought several psukim together. Section number four, psukim number four. This is what you are to do with the Chatzotzrot. Utkatem trua. Now, by the way, we're going to run into a log jam here right away. because this context is not shofar, but chatzotzra. Utkatem trua. Now notice, utkatem trua. What does that give you? Pshuta trua. V'nasu ha-machanot ha-chonim kedma. They'll travel. Utkatem trua sheni. V'nasu ha-machanot ha-chonim temana. So you're going to blast a trua, and with each trua, another camp will move. Trua yitku'u l'masehem. Look at that. Trua yitku'u. Sounds like trua pshuta. Pshuta trua, trua pshuta. Very good. V'akil ha-kahal titku'u v'lo tariu. What's titku'u v'lo tariu? What does that help me? You'll see. Utkatem trua, tkiya b'fnei atzma, trua b'fnei atzma. Tkiya and trua are not the same thing. I might think tkiya and trua just sounds out of the shofar. They're not different. Atalmer tkiya b'fnei atzma, trua b'fnei atzma. We know el tkiya trua achati. Maybe they're the same sound. Shomer uvakil takal titku'u v'lo tariu. That's the last phrase I quoted. You see that? They can't be the same. Titku'u v'lo tariu. Have you ever tkiya b'fnei atzma, trua b'fnei atzma? So now I can establish at least in the parsha of Chatzotzrot, every time it says tkiyah, every time it says trua, it's a different thing. Now, how do I know that when I blast the broken sound to get the camps moving, I start it with a tkiyah, or I preface it with a tkiyah? Talmud lomar utkatem trua. Utkatem trua. Talmud lomar trua yitku'u. Good. So right there in that parsha, I've got the entire structure laid out. What structure? That tkiya and trua are not the same, and every trua has to be prefaced and followed by a tkiya. I don't know anything about numbers, but my big problem is, of course, that this chatzotzot. If you don't need that trua yitku'u, v'yomer utkatem trua shenit. She'ein tamu lomar shenit. Why does it have to say a second trua? Obviously, if you're doing it again, that's the second trua. Tamu lomar shenit, zeb bana'av, shekom makom shenemar trua, te tkiya shenialah. This is a binyanat. To say any time in the Torah that you have a trua, it's always followed by a tkiya, a shenit, a second sound. So he says you don't need the pasuk trua yitku'u, you've got trua shenit. Emiel about midbar. Now all I know so far is this is when they're traveling in the midbar. Rosh Hashanah minayim, tamadomar trua trua l'gzera shava. Here I've got a gzera shava. The word trua is used several times in the parsha of Chatzotzrot, and it's used twice in the context of Rosh Hashanah. Yom trua, zichron trua. Now, so far, all I know is on Rosh Hashanah, I have to get up there, excuse me for saying so, with a chatzotzra, and blow a flat sound, a broken sound, a flat sound. Then kiddush. Shalosh truot nemru b'Rosh Hashanah. Ah, but it says it three times. Shabbaton zichron trua, yom trua, v'vartar shofar trua. Notice how flexible we're being. Three truot are said about Rosh Hashanah, that's not exactly true. One of them is in the context of Yovel. U'shtei tzkiot l'chol achat ve'achat. Each one has two tzkiot, one before and one after. Which means I'm getting my mass from Yovel, but I'm getting the elemental mitzvah from the Chatzotzrot, which of course is, we have to bridge that gap. Matzinu lemedin shalosh truot v'sheish tzkiot nemru b'Rosh Hashanah. So what's the bottom line? Three truot, six tzkiot. Right? Because each truah is prefaced and followed. Now, notice this. Shtayim midivrei Torah v'achat midivrei Sofrim. Interesting statement. The two of them are Da'oraita, and one of them is Midrabanan. What does that mean? We'll see in a second. Shabbaton zichron trua v'avarta shofar trua midivrei Torah. The two psukim about Rosh Hashanah Da'oraita. Yom trua yalachem, what's that? Sorry, the one of Rosh Hashanah and the one about Yovel are Da'oraita. Yom trua yalachem is not, meaning that we don't really have three sounds Da'oraita. There's only two sounds Da'oraita. Because Yom Terai Yalachem is needed for something else. And therefore, really need to write that there's only two sounds. L'tamudohu ba. That pasuk is coming to teach you something. What's it coming to teach you? That there's a mitzvah of shofar. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani and Rabbi Yonatan, achat midivrei Torah. There's only one of them is Da'oraita. U'shtayim midivrei Sofrim. V'avartah shofar trua midivrei Torah. And the other two psukim about Rosh Hashanah, Shabbaton zichron trua, v'yom trua yelachem v'tamudohu ba, are coming to teach you something. What are they coming to teach you? Well, one of them is coming to teach you the essential mitzvah. What's the other one coming to teach you? Ma'ay v'tamudohu ba, v'bayi b'yom v'lo v'layla, to tell you that yom trua yelachem, and therefore the mitzvah is a mitzvah of daytime. And you can't blow shofar at night. You can't fulfill the mitzvah at night. So, v'idach, what is the Tanakhama and the Braita, who said, I don't need a pasuk to teach me, it's only daytime, for? Where does he get it from? Bayom v'lo v'layla menale, nafka le'mi b'yom ha'kippurim. After all, in Yoga, what does the Torah say? You blast the shofar b'yom ha'kippurim. Now, that the truth is that is extra, because it says ba'asor l'chodesh ha'shvi'i. I know that's Yom Kippur. Why did it say B'yom HaKippurim? It's not actually done by day. E'B'yom HaKippurim, Yal, it's Nigmor, Nami, Minei, L'Pshuta, Fanam, Pshuta, L'Acharea. Wait a second, time out. You're saying the Tanakam of the Braita, the author of the Chatzotrot passage, learned the halakha that shofar must be done during the day from Yom HaKippurim, then learned the whole kit and kaboodle from there. And why do you have to go to Chatzotrot? The answer is because he doesn't hold that ha'avara means making a sound. And therefore, he can't learn pshuta l'fanel, pshuta l'achara from yoga. He has to learn it from chatzotzrot. But yom, yom is yom. Everybody agrees to that. Elamai dar shibahu, so what do they do with ha'avarta if they don't say it means a sound? Remember of matna? Ha'avarta? You have to blow out of the right side of the shofar? Dera matna varata, dera ha'avarato. Remember, the animal is walking like this? And the small end is sticking up, kind of facing you, so therefore you have to blow out of that end. They're a very challenging piece that we had last week. But he says that's what Ta'aviru is for. Ta'aviru is not to Mshuto Fana, it's for the style in which you have to blow the shofar. Now, Ta'aviru de Kamarachman and Navri Biyad. So if that's the case, then maybe it means that all I have to do is carry a shofar. Who says I have to make a sound? And then think about it. V'havartem shofar tshuah, if we were to translate in modern Hebrew, it means carry a shofar. It doesn't make anything about a sound. The Irach, what's the challenge to that? What does Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani say? He says, D'ramatnach v'nishani b'diburei ta'avir b'yad l'masi tamar. The fact that the Torah says ta'avir, which is a strange phrase, you can't say that it means carrying. It doesn't make any sense. Ta'avir shofar? So it must be making a sound. Right? Now, the Gamar Avara Avara in Moshe, because after all, I learned Ha'avara from Moshe. I told you that the word Lahavir in Tanakh often doesn't mean making a sound. When they had, he had brought enough donations for the Mishkan, Moshe sent out an announcement, don't bring any more. And the phrase is, Vayaviru Koba Machane, to make a sound. So Lahavir, as a verb, can mean to make a sound. And therefore, ta'aviru should mean that, and therefore we learn it from Yom Kippur. Our Tanya says, I don't buy it, and ta'aviru just means to pass, to carry, and therefore it's there to teach you about how the shofar should be blasted, but not the amount. And therefore I get the pshuta l'fanam, pshuta l'acharea from chatzotzrot. Now, ma'alam kol kamakol. L'hai tana ma'itu ha'mibar, according to our second Tana who got it from the Mibar, imal ha'alam chatzotzrot, afkan chatzotzrot. That was our elemental question. Very nice. You get the pshuto fanav, pshuto ve'achareha from the chatzotzrot, but it's still chatzotzrot. So maybe on Rosh Hashanah you have to blow chatzotzrot. Remember, we never use the word shofar in the context of Rosh Hashanah. Well, not never. Tamud amar tikhu v'chodesh shofar b'kesel yom chageinu. There we go to Tehillim. Eizu chag shachodesh mikaseba. What's the only yontif where it's on a new moon? Please don't tell me Chanukah. What's the only yontif that's on a new moon? Rosh Hashanah. Havayomer Rosh Hashanah, the Kamar Achmana Shofar. And what does the text say? Tikhu v'chodesh Shofar. So I know that the mitzvah is Shofar. Strangely enough, I get it from Tehillim. Which means now if I'm going to learn it from the Chatzotzrot, I'll say whatever I know about the Chatzotzrot in the Midbar, I will transpose to the Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Shuta v'fanav, shuta v'achareha. Therefore, I can learn either from, and I will sum up, the structure of pshuta l'fanam, pshuta l'acharea, that any time you make that broken sound, it has to be prefaced and followed by pshuta, could either be learned from Yovel, where it uses the word v'havarta shofar, and then shofar ta'aviru, if you hold the ta'aviru is an allusion to a pshuta, in which case I don't need the chatzotzrot at all, because I've got pshuta l'fanam, pshuta l'acharea there, I've got three truot from one Yovel, two Rosh Hashanah, and then I got my whole picture, nine kolot, that's it. But if I say ta'aviru doesn't mean that, then I have to go to the midbar, chatzotzrot, titku v'lo ta'aviru, telling me the two separate sounds, utkatem trua, tkia first, trua yitku, or trua sheni, telling me, followed by that. I now see the structure is always, anytime you make the sound, it's prefaced and followed by tkia. And then I have the three in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur mixed together to give me the three sounds. And then I have this curious piece where I say, it may indeed be that only two of them are Doraita, because one of them is there to teach me the elemental mitzvah. Or I could even say only one of them is Doraita, and the other two are there to teach me. One is there to teach me the mitzvah, and the other there to teach me Yom and not Laila. Okay. Now, you come to shul on Rosh Hashanah, and the guy gets up there and says, it's Kia, he blows a beautiful Kia. And then what does he do? What's the next thing he does? He blows some sort of a broken sound. And then he blows a tzkiyah. He does it three times. And you say, Chevra, let's go make Kiddush. And people say, we're not done. We're not barely started. How did we get from 9 kolot to 30 kolot? We're going to start with 30 kolot, which is tzkiyah, shrine, trua, tzkiyah, three times. Tzkiyah, shrine, tzkiyah, three times. Tzkiyah, trua, three times. Which we call 30 kolot. Think about it. There's 30 independent sounds, not independent sounds, tones, but 30 independent pieces. Tzkiyah is one, shrine is one, trua is one, etc. Right? How did we get to that?
How did we get from Musaf, which the Gemara says, to before Musaf?
That we mentioned already in the Gemara. We blow 30 before, either La Deva Tasatan, or like the Baltimore adds in, also for those people who won't be able to stay, so there's a special takana. That's not a problem. But the problem is, why do we have 30 any time that we do it? Today we go to the hospitals. What do you do, Rabbi Kolinsky, when you go to the hospital in the afternoon Rosh Hashanah? We blow 30. What do you do when your wife can't get to shul and you go home and blow 30? 30 is the elemental mitzvah. How do we get from 9 to 30? That's the question. The fact that we blow 30 before Musaf, that's already in the Gemara. Lama tokim shem yoshvim, lama tokim shem omdim. Now, Atkin Rabbi Aval v'Kisari. Rabbi Aval lived in the 4th century in Caesarea. By the way, Rabbi Aval was on good terms with the Roman governor. And Rabbi Aval, by the way, had some feisty debates with early church fathers. Just to give you a little background who he was. He was a very important person in Caesarea. He was metaken tkiah shlosha shvarim trua tkiah. He was metaken what we call tashrat. Tkiah shvarim trua tkiah. What does that mean? Manafshach. What he was metaken really can't be right. Why? In yalu layolil, if the trua that Torah is talking about is wailing, Lavi tzkiyah, trua tzkiyah. Then do tzkiyah, trua tzkiyah. We know we need tzkiyah in front and back. That we've established, right? The question is, what's the middle sound? So he established tashrat. Well, it doesn't make sense. Either the middle sound is this, or it's that. Either way, you're getting in the way with another sound. V'genuchi ganach lavi tzkiyah, shlosh shvarim tzkiyah. So either make tzkiyah, what we call trua. By the way, when we use the word trua, we're not using the Torah's word. We're using a late rabbinic word. Early rabbinic word, trua, just means that broken sound. But by later, we now refer to it by as the da-da-da-da-da staccato sound, and shvarim as the da-da-da, or not exactly, necessarily. Now, why did he do this? He had a safek about what the truest sound is supposed to be like, so he said, do both, tkia, shvarim, trua, tkia. But that, of course, is going to be inherently problematic, because if the right sound is shvarim, then you're interrupting between your shvarim and your tshitul achara with a trua, and vice versa. Maybe the real sound is weeping. Oh, the answer is the other avi tkiya trua tkiya, because you know what he did afterwards? Tkiya trua tkiya, in case that's the right way. And he says, you got the same problem. The other avi trua shvarim trua. It should be tkiya shvarim tkiya, really. Okay. Rabbeinu might ask him. So what is it? What was he metake? The answer is ikenuche gana ha'avde ilu liyalel ha'avde. What was he metake? After all, his takana should have been do tkiya shvarim tkiya three times and tkiya trua tkiya three times and leave it at that. That way you solve both sefekot. But safkale duma gana liyalel. He has a safek that maybe trua means both sounds. So why don't you then do tkiya trua shvarim? I can't even say it, it's so weird. Tkiya trua shvarim tkiya. So you have tkiya trua, right? Dilma yalil ganach. Stama de milta kimitra b'inish milta b'resha ganach v'ada yalil. They said, after all, it's still all based on a person's reaction sitting by the window anticipating or getting bad news. So either what it means is it refers to the sort of resignation to the bad news, the sign, or the wailing upon the acceptance of the bad news, or maybe it refers to sort of accepting the bad news and then kind of wailing as a response. But he says, nobody ever does it the other way. I'm not sure if that's the case, but that's what they're saying. And nobody ever does it the other way, where they do a lot of wailing and then they go into sighing. They sigh and then they break into wailing. Now, Rabbi Avraham's takana, therefore, really was to do tashrat, tashat, tarat. And that way, whatever sound the truah may be, you're doing the right one, with a pshuto lefanam, pshuto l'acharea. I quoted a Baal Amor, which unfortunately, I apologize, I made it way too small, but I quoted the passage of the Baal Amor. I'll tell you the kitzur what he says. It's a phenomenal thing. The Baal Amor, by the way, at the end of our Rosh Hashanah, is just filled with fantastic insight. Baal Amor, the Mizrahi Alevi, 12th century in Provence, makes the following observation. He says, Rabbi Aval was metakin. What does that mean? He says that really midoraita is a phenomenal chiddush. He says, really midoraita, any one of those sounds is valid. Any one of those sounds is valid. Any broken sound is valid. Whether it's shvarim or trua or shvarim trua. What happened is every community did it their way. They did tkiya. For some broken sounds, tkiya. And in some communities, it was kinuchi gonach. In some cases, it was yuli yololil. In some cases, it was gonach liyolil. And no community did it the other way. What did Rabbi Avahu want to do? He wanted to unify the custom. And what are two ways to unify the custom? One way to unify the custom is to say, we do it one way. Preferably my way. What's the other way to unify the custom? We do it always. It's a gorgeous thing about Rosh Hashanah. Is in Rosh Hashanah, we do it always. This community did Trua. This one did Shrine. This one did Shrine Trua. We're going to do everybody's way. Honoring all the different customs. A beautiful, beautiful piece of the Baal Amor of how it brings it together. I think we're going to have to stop here, which means I think we're going to modify our schedule and finish tomorrow. And therefore, we will start on Sunday. It'll give us a chance to announce to everyone to be able to join us on Sunday. As right after the Siyum, we will begin Masechet Taanit.